heart as much as I do. I heard him speak in April at a retreat on concepts, and he touched me deeply. He also sponsors the man that sponsors me, and for that I'm eternally grateful. And I don't want him to get too big of a halo. So, David, would you honor us? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is David A., and I am an alcoholic. And only because of God's grace through the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous am I sober this day, and for this I am so thankful. And my role this morning will be to share AA's experience in the 12 concepts of world service, this alcoholic's experience in the concept of world, 12 concepts of world service. Now, in Alcoholics Anonymous, we ask to share our experiences, not our opinions, because we find as a result of our experiences in Alcoholics Anonymous that opinions in many, many instances have a tendency to make sick people sicker, and in some instances to physically kill people. The concepts are actually, for most members of AA, and I'll say 99% members of AA, when they read them, it's just like reading the yellow pages in the phone book. They don't seem to get much of a thrill out of them or excitement out of them. And as a result, and there's a reason for it. And that is the fact that if one reads the book of Alcoholics Anonymous for the first time without ever coming to an AA meeting and say, yes, I'm an alcoholic, but I don't understand what's in there, and so they, in order to find out how to live what's in our recovery program, how to live what's in our 12 traditions, how to live what's in our world services, and then the member, in order to do that, has to listen to someone share their experiences in this or these principles. And the principles of all of them are nothing more than they are basic, sound, foundation principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it all stems from one thing, and that is recovery. Because without physical sobriety, there is no sobriety. But physical sobriety, if physical sobriety is going to be comfortable, then emotional and soul sobriety and mental has to be gained one day at a time. And so, as far as the 12 concepts are concerned, and I am really a little bit not uncomfortable, a little queasy, because sitting in this particular audience this morning is one of the grandest ladies that I've ever known. And in 1900, and I believe it was 68, Eve, I really don't know, Eve was asked to give an interpretation of the 12 concepts at the 4th New York State Convention. And Eve went in to Bill, and she said to Bill, "Bill, I've got to do this." And Bill looked at her and said, "Honey, I'm glad it's you and not me." And so, as a result, this was one of the first ones other than Bill. And then a little side effect, Chuck C. was asked by a certain area to give a talk on the concepts at the banquet on a weekend convention. And Chuck darn near went bananas, because he was trying to figure out how he could work the prodigal son and the good Samaritan in with the 12 concepts. And he said, "Never again, never again." And so as a result of it, you know, the concepts, were they written by? We'll get by. But the first thing I want to suggest to you is the fact that in 1983, and then it balled over in 1984, at the General Service Conference, and you know, as AA grows, and AA becomes a little bit smarter, and And I'll tell you what happened is, you know, when the old timers used to literally run Alcoholics Anonymous, I mean running. And then the members begin to read the most dangerous literature that you could read in AA, and that's the service manual, where they talk about rotation. And you have to remember, in AA, we don't have any problems. We've got challenges. And there are three things that take care of all the problems in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's alcohol, death, and rotation. That does the job. And you don't have to talk an hour and a half on that, I'll tell you. And so, as a result, so the delegates they're getting smarter every year. I'll tell you, I don't know where they get their brains, but the delegates today are absolutely fantastic overall. And so they come to find out that the writings in the concept, not the concepts themselves, the writings in the concept manual had been changed. And since it is conference approved and it has a conference seal of approval, no one could understand who gave them the authority or the responsibility to do it. Because, you see, then came the problem, since it was combined with the service manual, and the service manual is under the direct jurisdiction of one of the two delegate conference committees that has no opposite trustee committee, and that's report and charter. Well, if it has the responsibility to see what goes in and what goes out, what's deleted, and bring for advisory action to the conference, where does that put the conference literature committee? Because they're the ones responsible for the publishing. So no one could find out where it was. Did it ever come before the trustees literature committee? Did it ever come before the conference literature committee? Did it ever come before the conference report and charter? And so nobody knew anything. And so, as a result, an ad hoc committee. Now, if you want to design a camel with three humps in AA, appoint an ad hoc committee. I've been on more ad hoc committees than they got committees. Every time I turned around, the chairman of the General Service Board would put me on an ad hoc committee. And so, as a result, I happened to be on this ad hoc committee. And we weren't on a witch hunt or anything else. We wanted to do just exactly what Bill requested to do and what the group conscience of Alcoholics Anonymous requests us to do. And so, to solve that particular dilemma, we went back and we did what the responsibility of the General Service Board should be, and that is, made a motion, and that at the General Service Board meeting in July 30 of 1984, that the concepts be included in the bylaws of the General Service Board, just as the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And let's remember that the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you take the two words of Alcoholics Anonymous out of that, and the 12 steps belong to all mankind, because Alcoholics Anonymous does not have a lock on God. You see, if this be not the case, then Al-Anon and Al-Ateen couldn't have them. So it's the 12 steps, but when the minute you put the two words Alcoholics Anonymous on it, then that denotes it's ours. It's ours. And so the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, and so now the 12 concepts of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the bylaws were amended, but not before conference approval. It was brought to the conference in 1985, and the conference did not disapprove it, which is an automatic disapproval. And so then we got to finding out, well, if you put the concepts in the bylaws of the General Service Board in the original manner, that'd be too unwieldy. So we said, we'll put it in the short form. And believe it or not, no one knew what the short form was. But there was a short form. And the short form was adopted by the conference in 1972. But no one had a printing. So actually, you have got three printings of concepts. You've got in the index, then you have got the long form, and you've got the short form. And so the short form was put in there, and now it is the responsibility of the General Service Board, and the same responsibility it has for our recovery program and also for our 12 traditions. And so as a result, things begin to level off, and there's more interest in the concepts. You hear them discussed and talked about in a lot of area workshops and a lot of district workshops, bi-district workshops. And as a result, there is more interest generated in the 12 concepts. And the 12 concepts basically are not that difficult to understand. And my role this morning will be to share with you the background that came as a result of it. Now, what was the reason? Well, and after our 12 traditions were adopted, and then came along the first 4 years of the General Service Conference, which was experimental in nature at that time. And then at that time, then at the end of 4 years, then they found that it would really work. Because the reason for the General Service Conference was the fact that Bill knew about what was going to happen to AA. Bill could see Alcoholics Anonymous 30 years out there. And he could visualize what was going to happen. Because Bill devoted his lifetime. Dr. Bob was the master 12-stepper in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was Dr. Bob who delegated his responsibility to Bill, say, Bill, you do the writing. You like it. You understand it. I like to get down on my knees with them drunks. And before he died, he eyeballed to eyeball over 5,000 alcoholics. Now, I want to hear these groupie leaders in AA tell me they got 5,000 babies. Yeah. He got down on the knees with them. And as a result, and Dr. Bob always said this, when things get tough, and I think a good drink of scotch would really be good, he says, I know I cannot afford to pay the price. And when that comes upon me, he says, I do the greatest remedy that we've got in AA. I go visit the boys on the ward. Or in other words, working with a drunk. And so everything in Alcoholics Anonymous is designed to where we live sober. The freedom, total freedom. We were talking about that a few moments ago, about to be free, to be our own selves with all of our defects of character and still live sober. And so the 12 concept, and so Bill began to write now about the 12 concept where so that the fellowship would understand a lot of the things that were happening in AA, particularly as a result of from AA's beginning to its involvement in the General Service Conference, and then its involvement in the General Service Board and what it was doing and everything else along the line that had never been put down. So that the members would understand what's going on. Now also, the 12 concepts are not the third legacy. The third legacy was the creation, the formation, and development of the General Service Conference. And so in 1962, when Bill asked, Bill's proposal and his writing were accepted by the conference. And incidentally, right in the middle of one of the biggest hassles they've ever had on the General Service Board in Alcoholics Anonymous, and also on the conference delegates, and that is to change the ratio to increase more alcoholic trustees and decrease the number of of non-alcoholic trustees, and it got to be they put a moratorium on it to where it couldn't even be discussed for 5 years. Now, you put a moratorium on a drunk, and right there and then, he's going to break it. And so finally, and Bill being an alcoholic, and Bill being very insistent about these things. And so as a result, Bill, they wanted to create what they called a super trustee. Now, in order to change the ratio and add more alcoholics to it, then what are you going to do? You're going to create another region. You're going to add some more delegates. And because the ratio for delegates' votes was always been 66 and two-thirds, they comprise the majority of votes at the General Service Conference, the conference delegates themselves. And so what are you going to do? Well, in order to add an alcoholic, so they decided, well, in time they're going to add another alcoholic trustee or Class B trustee, and it's going to be called Trustee at Large USA and Trustee at Large Canada. And then after that got for a while, then they got to arguing about, well, that didn't sound too good. Let's change the name from Trustee at Large USA, Trustee at Large Canada, to General Service Trustee USA and General Service Trustee Canada. And that was done. And then in 1978, when our Milton Maxwell was our chairman of the General Service Board, Milton stepped to the microphone and he said, let's change it back to Trustee at Large USA and Trustee at Large Canada. So you see, nothing in Alcoholics Anonymous is set in stone, and that was also approved by the conference. And so Bill requested several things about the concepts, because the 12 concepts of world service are described in the concept manual, and they are, in Bill's own words, an interpretation. Now, it's Bill's interpretation. We have to remember that. No one else wrote the 12 concepts except Bill. And it's Bill's interpretation of a world service structure, because the concepts reveal by evolution by which it has arrived in its present form, and they detail the experience and reasoning of which our operation stands today. Now, that's our total operation today. These concepts, therefore, aim to record the why of our service structure in such a fashion that the highly valuable experience of the past and the lessons that we have drawn from that experience can never be forgotten or lost. One of the most valuable principles that we have in AA is our heritage. It's our past from whence we came, because these things were hammered out as a result of experience and bitter experience, and we are the results of being sober as a result of these things being done. And we would be derelict if we say we're members of AA, and particularly if we say we love AA as much as we do on our birthday nights, 364 days out of the year, as we do on our birthday night, and get up and say, you know, if it wouldn't be for Alcoholics Anonymous, I wouldn't be here, I wouldn't have shoes, I wouldn't have a wife, somebody else's wife, or this or that, and, you know, everything I owe to Alcoholics Anonymous, and he goes to meeting the next night, and they pass the basket, and he don't put nothing in, by God, there's no dues or no fees. Yeah. And so, we're here as a result of that. The dedication. This is where we lose a lot in AA, not only in the recovery program, but also in our service structure, is because of the discipline that it requires. If we are to get the full benefits from it, the absolute discipline. But in time, it becomes very, 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 very comfortable, if one would like to look at it that way. And so, Bill also cautioned us that, quite rightly, each new generation of AA world servants will be eager to make operational improvements. Now, if you belong to an AA group, and you go to your group on a regular basis, or you visit other groups, or you go to service meeting, there's always someone there that wants to change something. And usually it's not a question of whether it's right or wrong. It's a question that's in the way I think it ought not to be. And that's okay. That gets us to thinking once again, and that's dangerous for an alcoholic. And so, as a result, unforeseen flaws in our present structure will doubtlessly show up later on. New service needs and problems will arise that make structural changes necessary. Such alterations should certainly be effective and these controversies squarely met, and also contingencies. Yet, we should always realize that change does not necessarily spell progress. That's the reason why I brought in about naming it once and naming it again and changing it back so that we could get progress. Change just for change in Alcoholics Anonymous, folks, just don't work. Just doesn't work. The only thing that works is sobriety for sobriety. Anything else puts a condition on it. And so, yet we should always realize, as I said, that change does not necessarily spell progress. Now, we are sure that each new group of workers in world service will be tempted to try all sorts of innovations that may often produce little more than a painful repetition of earlier mistakes. Therefore, it will always be important that the objective of these concepts to forestall such repetition by holding the experience of the past clearly before us. This is the reason that our heritage, our legacy, our history is so important in Alcoholics Anonymous. So important. Because it reveals the reasons for this. If all of us that are alcoholics and are members of AA had not drunk alcohol, we would not need Alcoholics Anonymous. It's our dark past in God's hands which is our strongest assets. This is what we can share, and there's no difference in our service structure. It's no difference in our traditions or anything else. This is what we share each other because this is where our strength lies. And so, because a lot of times, and if by mistake, departure are nevertheless made, the concepts may then provide a ready means of safe return to an operating balance that might otherwise take years of floundering to resolve. Because you see, as AA began to grow and the conference was evolved, as a result, there was a lot of confusion on the relationship of the conference to the General Service Board and its two affiliates. That's the reason the concepts were written, to show the balance between the individual member, the individual member's group, other groups, and Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole, then the General Service Conference and its relationship to the General Service Board and its two affiliates, and it comes back down as a result to us. Because it's just like a fine piece of machinery, unless all the gears are not properly in place, the machinery will begin to break down. And so, as also seen in these concepts, are a number of principles which have already become traditional to our services, but which had never been clearly articulated and reduced to writing. This is what I referred to earlier. Examples such as the right of decision, which gives our service leaders a proper discretion and latitude. The right of participation, which gets each world servant a voting status commensurate with his or her responsibility. Every member of Alcoholics Anonymous has that freedom to participate in AA. Every member of Alcoholics Anonymous has the freedom to vote. You know what it really goes back down?
one group, one vote,
to where they don't have double-headed voting in Alcoholics Anonymous.
One group, one vote.
The freedom to participate, the freedom to make decisions, and it further guarantees that each service board or committee will always possess the several elements and talents that will ensure effective functioning. The right of appeal protects and encourages minority opinion, and the right of petition makes certain that grievances can be heard and this properly acted and then properly acted upon. All of these general principles can and should be, of course, be used to good effect throughout the entire structure, not just the General Service Board, not just the General Service Office, not AAWS and AA Grapevine. For God's sakes, get into the habit, if you can, of calling it the AA Grapevine, because there's another magazine put out called the Grapevine, and it ain't AA, and it happens to be the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And many years ago, when they were going to call this thing the Grapevine, and the FBI got wind of it, and they said, wait a minute here. And the FBI certainly didn't want to have anything to do with the drunks, and the drunks certainly didn't want to have anything to do with the FBI. So we do have a magazine called The Grapevine, but read it properly. Alcoholics Anonymous Grapevine. You see, those two precious words, Alcoholics Anonymous, separates us from anything else in this whole world. Literature, I don't care what it is. It's a most valuable name, and it is our responsibility to protect it. Because we've got not only members of Alcoholics Anonymous, not inventory taking, that if they can make a buck off Alcoholics Anonymous, they're right in there pitching at it. They could care less. Well, after all, I'm a member of AA, and I've been flushed with this spiritual enema, and I am free, and therefore I can use this for my own personal gain. It will help somebody. Yeah, it'll help the pocketbook. AA seems to work best when it's free. Absolutely free. And so, and the concepts and other sections carefully delegate those important traditions, customs, relationships, and legal arrangements that weld the General Service Board into the working harmony with its primary committees and with its corporate arms of active service, that is AAWS and AA Grapevine. And this in substance is the substance of the structural framework that governs the internal working situation at AA's world headquarters. You see, you've got these principles that have to work at the headquarters, but the same principles that work at the headquarters work in our own group. The only difference is that an AA group is a spiritual entity, and therefore it is not a legal entity. But in order to live the laws of the land and to protect Alcoholics Anonymous and to protect our freedom, the General Service Board has to have the legal responsibilities to live by the laws of the land. And if time would permit, and it doesn't, I'll tell you how that came about. AA does not operate like any other 501c3 tax-exempt, not-for-profit fellowship in the world, period. Many, many years ago, in 1943 to be exact, who later became not only the architect of our General Service Conference Charter, but also the architect of many of what's in the concepts today. A non-alcoholic trustee who for many years served as the chairman of the General Service Board, chairman of the also the experimental conferences that up to five, a gentleman by the name of Bernard Smith. And Bernard Smith, there was a lawyer by the name of Mr. Woods. And Mr. Woods was a lawyer in Elihu Root's firm, which was the legal firm for John D. Rockefeller Jr. and his family's business. And Mr. Wood, at that time, and prior to 43, was actually the legal counsel for the old, it started out of the Alcoholic Foundation, named Alcoholic Foundation, and then it was changed, incorporated, and then it involved in the Alcoholic Association, and then the Alcoholic Foundation, and then it was renamed the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, how that came about is a result. You see, a foundation means to most people a money-raising thing. And we had a lot of non-alcoholics in those days on there that figured that that's how AA could get the money that it needed, because AA was busted. And they could go out to the non-alcoholic world and get the money. Well, the only one in the non-alcoholic world that would give them anything was John D. Rockefeller Jr. And his associates and some of his friends. And so they were going to call it the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous International. And then Bill said, wait a minute here. You've got the best name that it could be. You got the General Service Conference. Why don't you call it the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous? And that's how that name came about. But to go back to Mr. Wood and to Bernard Smith, and so Mr. Wood decided that things where he didn't quite understand it, and so upon recommendation by their firm, Bernard Smith, who also is an attorney, and they asked if he would become the legal counsel for Alcoholics Anonymous at that time. And he did. Well, there was another drunk member of AA, by the name of Smith, Burl. And he was a certified public accountant. And so in those days, Works Publishing was paying income tax, and the drunks were hounding Bill for all the money that they loaned him, because Bill guaranteed the repayment of every one of those things himself personally. And it was bothering Bill, because Bill didn't have any money, and he'd go before the old foundation and, sorry, boys, no money. I'm sorry, that's your responsibility. And saying that's the greatest thing in the world he could have told him. And so as a result, Bill, well, what are we going to do? We can't pay off our debts. The stockholders are screaming for the book money and this and that. So the two Smiths go down to the Commissioner of Internal Revenue Service in Washington, D.C., by a gentleman by the name of Mr. Mooney. And they wrote, naturally, a letter to get in to see him. They said, well, but what are you here for? And he said, well, we need to get a tax-exempt status, and you have to authorize it. Well, Mr. Mooney said, explain what you're all about. And they did. Then he called in his assistant and said, do we have any past experience granting exemptions for something like this? Would you go get me the files? Meanwhile, these gentlemen will go to lunch, and I'll go to lunch, and we'll come back and we'll meet after lunch, but research the files. They did, and they came back and said, uh-uh. Well, Mr. Mooney says, since you are the first, we have no experience to go by. I tell you what you do. You go by and you write us a letter telling us where you get your money, what you spend it for, and what you do with what's left over. And they did. After the receipt of the letter, Mr. Mooney, in turn, wrote the district director of the Internal Revenue Service, in which our office and our, which we're incorporated, in the state of New York, giving Alcoholics Anonymous
tax-free exemption.
It's the only one that's ever been done that way. It was the first one. And still today, AA operates that way. Here's your money you get in, this is what you spend, this is what you got left over, and this is what you do with it. That's the precise reason that the General Service Board today only has custody of responsibility of two money funds, and that is the general fund, and that's monies that go in for group and individual contributions, and the reserve fund. And the two working entities, they have start with so much money at the first of the year, end up at the end of the year, and everything up above that startup money is needed. It is given as a donation to a like or similar incorporation, which is a General Service Board, who in turn takes part of the publishing profit and picks up the shortfall, what the group and individual contributions do not pick up, and the rest goes into the reserve fund for Alcoholics Anonymous. Nothing more, nothing less. And then the reserve fund, the internal reserve, puts a cap on the reserve fund as a result of conference action. Now they're beginning to monkey with that. And I'll tell you right now, they're going to face a heck of a battle with the Internal Revenue Service because the IRS has been very, very good to us. And you see, an AA group is a spiritual entity. So necessarily, we have to operate that way if we're not going to be of the laws of the land, and also to preserve the credibility that Alcoholics Anonymous has generated in the eyes of the world. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. And so great emphasis in other chapters is laid on the need for a high order of personal leadership and of desirability. And so there, as a result, consequently, ideas like the following pervade the concepts. No group or individual should act in unqualified authority over another. Large, active, and dissimilar operations should be separately incorporated and managed, each with its own staff, equipment, and working capital. Now do you understand maybe the reason for the delegated authority and the delegated responsibility? So nobody will be running into each other. And allow every service worker the responsibility. You see, today in Alcoholics Anonymous, unfortunately, GSRs want to be the DCMs. DCMs want to be the delegates, and delegates want to be the trustees. If each of us do what we've got to do, if each of us do what we've got to do, it works. It works. It works. And that's the reason why we have the greatest non-alcoholic friend in Alcoholics Anonymous that AA will ever have, and that's God. So if you're going to exclude non-alcoholics in your closed meetings, you better think about that sometime. Have you ever read where God got a DWI? Got thrown in jail? No, no. And so, as a result, you know, like the earlier written 12 steps and 12 traditions and the conference charter, these service principles are also the outcome of long reflection and extensive consultation. Bill also asked that the original writings about the concepts be kept as they are. If any changes were to be made, particularly in numbers or particularly in change of ratio or particularly any change, that it would be put back in the back of the concept manual so that our fellowship could see from whence we came. So now, instead of putting it in the back, and the ad hoc committee originally recommended that, but it's been changed, and now they have a little asterisk down at the bottom of the page so that it wouldn't clutter it up and it would be easier to read. So in 1962, also when the concepts were adopted, the conference at the time asked that it would be put into, at that time, it was the third legacy manual, be put into the third legacy manual and added to it as an addition and a supplement or complement to the third legacy. And then it was separated later on, and then it was put back again. You see, nothing in AA is hardening and nothing in AA will always be, thank God we're open. As Bill always cautioned, for God's sakes, let's don't get frozen as hard as an ice cube. Because we have to have the latitude to grow. We have to have the latitude to be comfortable. And so concept one, final responsibility and ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our World Service. Now, I'm going to use the short form of the concepts. The AA groups today hold the ultimate responsibility and final authority for our World Services. Those special elements of overall service activity which makes it possible for our society to function as a whole. Now, the groups assumed the responsibility at the St. Louis International Convention in 1955, and incidentally, it is the only time that the General Service Conference itself has met outside New York. It met also at that time for financial reasons and other reasons. Bill was brilliant. In case anybody when it was turned over to him, were balking it, he wanted to have those delegates as lobbyists running around telling folks what needed to be done. Now, Bill was good about that. Eric talked about it yesterday when Eric came on the board, and Eric was told by one of his friends, for God's sakes, don't let Bill Carney start brainwashing you. And he had a wonderful way to do it. And he is something else, I'll tell you. And so as a result, and now they're on the behalf of Dr. And the reason for it was this, is because Dr. Bob passed away in 1950. And that left Bill as the only link between us and the foundation, who many of them didn't even know existed, much less knew who they were. And then when Bill went out, who would be the link? And so at the International Convention in St. Louis in 55, there on behalf of Dr. Bob, although Dr. Bob had passed away, his spirit will always live with us. Dr. Bob is simply out of sight and out of sound. But his spirit will always live with us. And so therefore, on behalf of Dr. Bob, Bill, the trustees and AA old-time leaders, Bill made the transfer of World Service responsibility to our entire fellowship. And Bill also said something, and it used to be in the old Third Legacy Manual. And he says, these we bequeath to you. The 12 steps, the 12 traditions have already been held by you in trust. For you, the members of Alcoholics Anonymous, we now bequeath them to you, but guard them well. Guard them well. And so as a result of it, these were the reasons for stark necessity for this action. But there were further reasons which have to do with AA's fundamental structure and tradition. In 1948, our necessities had become clear enough. In 1938, helped by dedicated friends, Bill and Dr. Bob, commenced to work upon our World Service structure. You see, our World Service structure basically has been out ever since the big book has been the first printing, when it says that we hope that this chip of a book will go all over the world. Right there and then, we started a service. So the alcoholics every place, everywhere, will read this book and be willing to become one of us. First, there was the creation of a trusteeship for AA as a whole. As I said before, called the Alcoholic Foundation. 1954, it was renamed the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, the trustees who this trusteeship was designed at that time to inaugurate and maintain all of those special services for AA as a whole, they could not be performed by individual members and single groups or even areas of AA. And so they also envisioned the writing of a uniform AA literature, the development of a sound public relations policy, and the means of handling the large numbers of pleas for help that might follow in the wake of national or international publicity. Thank God this has come about. Thank God it's and also of furnishing them with not only with counsel based upon the experience of older and already successful groups. This is where our General Service Office is so vital. It can't tell a group what to do. It just merely shares experience of groups. That's all that it is there for. It cannot issue a ruling. It cannot issue this or that. And believe it or not, they get a lot of calls, and that's good. They get a lot of calls to our General Service Office from GSRs and DCMs, or just plain those who are not even have a service responsibility or title, and they call, and the answer is there right there in their own home group. But that's all in the world that it's all about. You see, everything in AA is 12-stepping. Everything in Alcoholics Anonymous is 12-stepping. And don't get it confused with legalized forms and terms and all this and all that. It's just, we have to remember that our deal is for drunks, written by drunks, and for the drunks to come, and for nothing more and nothing else. That's what makes AA so great. We're not out here to heal the world. We're having trouble healing our own. And so then they thought there would be need for a monthly magazine and all these other things. And so as a result, however, in 1948, there occurred an event that shook the whole of Alcoholics Anonymous when it became known that Dr. Bob was suffering from a fatal illness other than alcoholism. There's nothing else. This news drove home the hard fact for us that Bob and Bill were almost the sole links between the virtually unknown trustees and the movement which they served. Because the trustees had always drawn heavily on Bill, very heavily on Bill and Dr. Bob for advice. But the trustees had taken a firm grip on our money. But every time that AA policy question arose, then they turned to Bill and Dr. Bob. And also the groups at that time did not really rely much on the trustees for the management of our service affairs. And they were still looking for Bill and Dr. Bob. And here was a society whose total function was still largely but dependent upon the credit and the confidence with which at that time and that period were the two co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. And one had gone out and get ready to go. And then who's going to run our business? So the reasons for the basic shift of ultimate responsibility and authority center around tradition two. Everything in Alcoholics Anonymous basically surrenders about what? About God. There is where the ultimate authority is. The ultimate authority in our recovery program, the ultimate authority in our 12 traditions, the ultimate authority in our service conference charter, and the ultimate authority in our 12 concepts of world service. It all evolves around tradition two. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And tradition two, like all the traditions, is a voice of experience based upon the trials of thousands of groups, not only from the beginning of our pioneering time, but even today. The main principles of tradition two are very clear. The AA groups are to be the final authority. Their leaders are to be entrusted only with delegated responsibility. That's all. That's all. And so, happily for us, there seems little prospect for such a calamity in AA, because the life of each individual, the life of each and every group, is built around the 12 steps. Our 12 traditions and our 12 concepts. And we very well know the penalty for extensive disobedience to these principles. It means death for the individual and dissolution for the groups. An even greater force for AA's unity is the compelling love that our fellow members have, and not only for each other and the principles upon which our lives are founded. Concept two. The General Service Conference of AA has become, for nearly every practical purpose, the active voice and the effective conscience of our whole society, in world affairs. Now, since the ultimate responsibility and authority for AA world service belongs to the AA groups, it is rather obvious that the 75, 80 some odd thousand AA groups and over 2 million AA members in the world. Now, that I'm just talking about in North America and countries. And we really don't know how many groups we've got. Our deal is like a floating crap game, here today and gone tomorrow. We've got over 40,000 so-called AA groups that are not even in communication with us. Yet they are free to receive the same as any group in AA. Any alcoholic who wants Alcoholics Anonymous and says, I'm one of you, we have to take their word for it. And go about the business of uncovering more drunks that are eager to take the bait for Alcoholics Anonymous. And so, therefore, we really don't know how many members we've got or how many groups. You know, you'd be surprised how many members of Alcoholics Anonymous we have right now, today, that are members when the sun come up all over the world today. But folks, when the sun goes down all over the world tonight, many who woke up as members of AA this morning won't be members of AA because they went back to drinking. That's how little we know about stopping drinking in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. And so as a result, they can't do this of themselves. Sure, the group conscience and the needed monies are out there, and the power of the groups and its members to change their world service structure and to criticize its operations is verdict supreme. And God, we do criticize it, don't we? Yeah. For they have all the final responsibility and authority that there is, because Alcoholics Anonymous belongs to the members of AA. Doesn't belong to anybody else. It's ours. It's ours. And it's been bequeathed to us by God. Now, you're not going to get a better authority than that in Alcoholics Anonymous. Period. And so it is ours and nobody else's. So in order to avoid confusion and to function in simplicity of service, the groups in turn, through the General Service Conference, well, it works this way. The groups to the districts, to the area, to the General Service Conference, to the General Service Board, and its two affiliates. Then what it is delegated for them to do, they do it, and it comes back down to us. Each of us provide the service in order to do it. To provide the service for what? And you may get sick and tired of me saying it. To provide the service to be sure that the 12 steps are available at all times and that the groups are AA groups and not BB groups. You know what a BB group is? It ain't AA. Yeah. So that the alcoholic gets an honest shot at it. That's all. And so complete administrative for and the conference and all of its service arts. As Bill and Dr. Bob, early in AA, had found it necessary to delegate a large part of their active authority to the trustees, the AA groups also have found it necessary to delegate these same powers to their General Service Conference. So now it begins to squeeze down from groups to districts to area to conference. All along, the experience begins to flow. You got individual, you got group experience, you've got accumulated groups in your district, then you've got to hold all your groups in your conference voting area and through your committee, and you've got a delegate that goes to the General Service Conference as a trusted servant to vote there with the rest of them, and you begin to squeeze it down so the entire group conscious of AA is heard. Not just from the Southwest region, but also the Pacific region and every region in the United States and Canada, because ours is the General Service Conference of North America. It is not the General Service Conference of the world, but North America. But our world service structure is designated for world service structure. This is difficult sometimes to understand. And so as a result of the conference charter, the General Service Conference of AA, plus any later formed sections, has become, for nearly every practical purpose, the active voice and effective conscience of the whole society in its world affairs. Now, I'm going to run that by again. The General Service Conference of AA, plus any later formed sections. You notice it didn't say the General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous North America, it said of AA. Now this allowed later form sections, the General Service Conference in United Kingdom, the General Service Conference in France, and in Germany, and in Italy, and in Australia and New Zealand. You see, has become for nearly every practical purpose the active voice and effective conscience of our whole society. Yeah, our whole society. That's all over the world in all of its world affairs. Concept two. A few more moments on one. Two, rather. The reasons for this vesting of responsibility as a result of finding out that the ultimate authority and the responsibility lies in the AA groups or world services. If that was all that there was, it wouldn't amount to a darn thing. It would just lay there. It wouldn't go any further. So in order to get effective action, the groups found that they must, as much as we hate that word must, and you say there are no musts in Alcoholics Anonymous, well, I'll tell you where the first must is. It's in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous when it said we must turn all things into the Father of Light. We must turn all things into the Father of Light. So the group found that in order for them to work, that they must do these things. Yeah. Hence the principle of amply delegated authority and responsibility to trusted servants must be implicit from top to the bottom. If not, you have a breakdown. One of the problems that we're one of the challenges that we're having day to day is, I won't call it mistrust, it's misunderstanding of the responsibility of trusted servants. And this is the reason why you see a power drive in Alcoholics Anonymous every now and then. We're going to change everything up. Well, what are you going to change it to? Go back to where we were? That would mean death for the drunk to come. And we've always got to keep that responsibility within our own selves to realize that we're here only as a result of a gift, a very, very precious gift. And so this is a clear implication of AA's tradition too. Concept three. To ensure effective leadership, we should endow each element of AA, the conference, the General Service Board, and its service corporations, staffs, committees, and executives with a tradition, right of decision. Now, we found out the necessity for the groups assuming this. We found out also the necessity for the groups delegating it now. But you can delegate all you want to, but whoever is one to be the recipient of the delegation has to have certain principles to work by, certain authority and certain responsibility to work. And so now comes the decision. Now, I'll tell you right now in Alcoholics Anonymous, a decision. Well, here again is a working example of tradition two. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. We ought to trust our world servants for within the framework of the general of their general responsibilities, whether they be defined by charter, resolution, advisory action, or custom, or should be the traditional right of all world service boards, committees, and executives to decide which problems they will dispose of themselves and upon which matters they will report, consult, or ask specific directions, because if we do not trust our world servants, then no effective leadership can be possible. Now, in order for the individual member and the groups to understand this, let's go back to the group level. This works tremendously on a group level. When you elect a GSR or you elect your group chairman, if you don't trust them to do the chores that the group as a whole delegates, or in other words, you delegate somebody to do the coffee, make the coffee. Now, it's not whoever is delegated to make the coffee responsibility to go get the money and buy the coffee and buy the filters and buy the machine. Uh-uh. Somebody else does that. He just makes or she just makes the coffee. That's all that they're delegated to do. That's all they're delegated to do. It's the same way with the group chairman, the group secretary. Oh. And then they have to have the freedom to make the decision. Well, I need two number two lead pencils. Do I go ahead and buy them, or do I go to a group and have a business meeting to see whether they will let me do it or not? And don't kid yourself, it hadn't been done. Yeah, hadn't been done. I'll share a little experience with you. In our group, one night we got a huge group, and we like to put our new drunks making coffee because this way they get to meet everybody. And a little drunk was only 3 days sober, and he's still shaking, and he comes to the group to make coffee, and they had the coffee locked up and everything else. So he took money out of the coffee kitty, and he went over to the supermarket, and he bought 4 pounds of coffee, two-pound cans, and he comes and brings them back, and he's making coffee, and he leaves the cans up there, and here comes them old hermits in there. God forbid, don't move their chair, I'll tell you. And he said, who who ordered that brand of coffee? We've been drinking this brand of the coffee for 25 years. Who ordered that? The little drunk said, well, I came, and the coffee was locked up, and I know all y'all want your coffee. Y'all are grumpy enough without it. And so I took some money out of the coffee kitty, and I went over and I bought the coffee, and I bought it because it was cheaper. I didn't know what brand you used. They just told me to make coffee. And here's the receipt for the money, and I put it back in the coffee kitty. Well, who gave you the authority to do that? And who gave you the responsibility to do that? That little drunk looked at him. He said, well, by God, if that's your attitude. And he took all the pots of coffee and poured them out on the floor. And he said, if you want coffee, you make coffee. They never bothered that little drunk from then on, I'll tell you. He's one of the finest members we've got in our group. He understands delegated responsibility and delegated authority real well. And he also educated some others, I'll tell you. And as a result of Concept 1 and 2, fortified and powered by Tradition 2, the General Service Conference and the General Service Board charters just simply define the responsibilities of the conference to act on behalf of A as a whole. These charters, just simply in a general way, describe the relation between the groups, the conference, the trustees, and all of our active service entities. Without these definitions and descriptions, shoot, we couldn't even function. This concept just simply puts, once again, Tradition 2 into action by allowing us to trust our responsible leaders, to decide which of the understood, in the understood framework of their duties, how they will interpret and imply their own authority and responsibility to each particular problem or situation that it arises. There will always be plenty of ultimate authority to correct inefficiency, ineffectiveness, or abuse. This is the purpose of the General Service Conference. One of the purposes. If the conference doesn't function well, the groups can send better delegates. If our trustees get out of line, the conference can censure or criticize them and even reorganize them. A very interesting experience happened at the last General Service Conference, and ask your delegate about letting the trustees know who's who, what's what, and what's what the deal is. Yeah. If headquarters services go haywire, the trustees can elect better directors and hire better help. Still, many areas are sometimes tempted, and some still do, to instruct their delegates exactly how to vote upon certain matters in the conference. Now, because the groups have all the responsibility and ultimate authority to do this, there is no doubt that the AA groups still have the right to do this. And if they insist, they can give directives to their delegates on any and all AA matters, but were the groups to carry out their instructions of delegates to extremes, then they would be proceeding on the false theory that group opinion in most instances would somehow be much superior to conference opinion. Practically speaking, this could almost never be the case, because there would be very few questions, indeed, that instructed delegates could better settle than a conference acting on the spot with full facts and experience and debate is always desirable. So is full consultation with the committee members and general service representatives, and also with staff. Now maybe you understand why the staff votes at the General Service Conference and director. The instructed delegate who cannot act on his own conscience who has to rely upon everything in his God's world to make a decision. There's no difference in the member of AA that has got to call their sponsor to see if it's all right to go to the bathroom. I don't know about you, but my bowels dictate to me, not my sponsor, when I got to go to the bathroom, or my kidneys. Yeah. Because the instructed delegate cannot act on it in the conscience, and is not capable of making a decision in final conference vote. And therefore, an instructed delegate is not a trusted servant at all. He's just a messenger from uninformed and uninstructed people who say, this is what we want you to do. But it doesn't quite work that way. Concept four. At all responsible levels, we ought to maintain traditional right of participation, allowing a voting representation in reasonable proportion to the responsibility each must discharge. Now, concept three was a right of decision, and concept four is a right of participation. Do you realize that those concepts are written backwards? In normal society, if this were to be their concepts, the right of participation would be three, and then the right of decision would be four. Well, I got to ask you a question. Bill was brilliant. How can you participate in AA if you don't make a decision? Now, AA is nothing more than decisions. Each of us. We woke up and discovered we made a decision to stop drinking. We made a decision to be a member of AA. We made a decision to live within the recovery principles of Alpha. AA is nothing more than uncovering and discovering and making a decision. That's all in the world that these whole deals that we got in AA. Our steps is uncovering. First step, uncover. Second step, a solution. Third step, the decision. But until we participate in the first two steps, how in the dickens can we make the decision? We don't know. We don't know. And so, if we're not capable of making the decision, then our participation. Once I decided to be a member of AA, then I'm a member of AA, and I can participate as a member of AA. Yes, sir. Now, the principle of participation has been carefully built into our conference structure. The conference charter specifically provides that the trustees and the directors of our service corporations, together with their respective executive staffs, shall always be voting members of the General Service Conference itself. And this principle of participation also applies to the directors of the General Service Board's wholly owned actively serviced corporations, as well as those who are appointed to the board's standing committee. One of the best reasons for our participation certainly has to do with our basic spiritual needs. All of us deeply desire to belong. We need and we want an AA relationship, an AA relationship of brotherly and sisterly partnership. The paramount ideal of the spiritual corporation should never include any members who are regarded as second class. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we are a society of equals. There are no second class members of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's we, not them and us, but we. Thus, if we are to have no second class AA members, then neither should we be any second-class world service workers. Thus, it encourages every one of us who serve AA to accept the necessary disciplines that our several jobs require. This we can do when we are sure that we belong. Once the assurance comes in Alcoholics Anonymous, yes, I am an alcoholic. Yes, I belong to AA. Then AA starts to get good. This is our basic need to belong. Before we got here, we were so fractured. We didn't belong no place. People kept tugging at us and pulling at us. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? We're never allowed to be free. And until we had the freedom to drink that juice and go all the way down to where we got to get out of bondage, the decision never was going to be made. Because one of the greatest assets in getting to AA and also the growth of AA is self-imposed crisis. That'll get the job done when nothing else will. A self-imposed crisis. And as I said, this we can do when we all assure we belong. For the principle of participation assures us that we are truly the trusted servants as tradition 2 suggests that we do. The preservation of the principles of participation in our service structure is to those who always may have a reasonable understanding. Its application and its benefit is a matter of the highest importance to the future. Experience has also shown us that some of each new generation, as I said before, of delegates and trustees will invariably try to weaken, modify, or toss out the principle of corporate participation. We had a recent experience like this at our past General Service Conference. Didn't we, Linda? Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you, that group conscience got to those few that wanted to change it real quick. And a few delegates will question the right of the, oh, this comes up every year, of the corporate directors, staffs, and even trustees to vote in conference. Sometimes new volunteer corporate directors will ask why any paid staff member should also be a director and thereby have a vote as good as their own, because it is virtually important that we preserve the traditional right of participation in the face of every tendency to whittle it down. Well, let's take a little break now, and then we'll come back, and then we'll finish up with our concepts. Thank you very, very much for your attention.